Well, beloved, let's turn to Scripture together, shall we? I am looking into the first epistle of the Corinthians and the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 1st verse, Paul speaking, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" It's a wonderful verse, and I suppose that we could spend a long time just examining the whole of the verse. But the particular phrase that's fastened on my heart since we've been together tonight are these words, "Am I not free? Am I not free?" You know, it's a tremendous thing that this man was inviting these Corinthians to tell him whether he was free or not. That's what he was saying. I don't know whether you've ever thought of doing the same, asking others whether they really think you're free. Might be a very good idea. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to stand up and testify that you're free. Could you do that? The apostle did it. And you may be perfectly sure that if it was vital and necessary for an apostle to say he was free, shall we say the lesser fry like us, we've got to be free. There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, the apostle recognized that he couldn't bring any liberty to any degree to anybody if he wasn't free himself. We have an awful habit of imparting our own states to people. Well, at least this is what I sort of observe, and I'm told, I mean, people come to me, they say, "Terrible in our house. My mother's always depressed." So you see, it spreads to them. The daughter comes and she's depressed, you see, or something like that. And that's right, you see. And this is how these things really go from heart to heart, because, as you will remember, those of us that were here, I believe it was Saturday afternoon, we have so many meetings in these sort of crush times together, I think it was Saturday afternoon, when we were saying and looking into that 4th chapter of this epistle where the apostle said that the kingdom of God isn't in word, it's in power. It isn't in word. Anybody thinks that all it is going along to hear somebody preach and say a lot of words, they've sadly missed the whole point. The whole thing is that when you go along to meetings, you should go there to have power reach you and be in a power kingdom where things are done sovereignly under the power of God, not against one's will, though often that does happen, but with full consent of the will. But we're in a place of power where God is concerned. And so, you see, this man, Paul, he says, "Now I'm free. I'm free. Glory be to God." And if I say it again, "Now stand up, everyone that's absolutely free. Would you stand up?" You might ask me that. It's a very good question. You should ask your minister. You should ask your neighbor, you should ask everybody that says that they're a Christian. Say, "Are you free?" Praise God, it's a blessed thing to be free. As a matter of fact, as we look into this epistle, we won't be able to do it for very long tonight, we shall see several of the things in which Paul was a free man. And the thing in which he ministered to liberate others, to bring them into this great freedom. For instance, you will see, and this is absolutely vital, that just turn with me into, say, the fourth chapter. I think that this may be a good thing. Comparing it with a statement in the first chapter, if you put your finger in the fourth chapter, then turn over to the first of this great epistle. He's writing to these people and he says, "It's been declared of me," in verse 11, "of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." There you are. Now in the end of the fourth chapter, this is the question he says, this is the thing he says, verse 22, "Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, you are Christ's, Christ is God's." Amen. We go back to the first chapter again, in verse 13. "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" My, what a wonderful thing. Look in the third chapter again, verse 5. "Who's Paul?" he says. "Who's Apollos?" And so you see, in this very beginning, Paul was a man who was absolutely free from himself. "Who's Paul?" he said. Completely free from himself. What a marvelous thing it is to be free from yourself. You know, people can't be what God wants them to be because they're not free from themselves. I've gone out the door, but I think they were wanting to come in. And a person has to be free from self. This is absolutely vital in the Christian life. "Who's Paul?" he said. Why? He talks about himself in very wonderful ways, and you will know that in the Galatian letter, in the second chapter, in the 20th verse, he says, I was crucified. With Christ, I was crucified. He came to a place in his realization of what God was doing when he saw that God had taken hold of that man and had slain him, crucified him. And you know, this is the great secret of it all. Nobody can be free from themselves until they know they've been crucified. When they know that they've been crucified, that you can't choke yourself to death in this Christian life. You can't pray yourself to death. You can't hope yourself to death. Wish yourself to death. That in this great truth and in this great thing, you had to be crucified. And when a man or a woman will come God's way, the crucified way, the cross way, and will believe what God says, they can easily get rid of themselves. Nothing in it at all. The great way of release and liberty from self is the way of faith, where a man sees what God has done and his eyes are open to it. But the tragedy with so many of us is that we take such a long time to see ourselves. Because you see, we believe in the self-improvement society. We keep on improving ourselves, and we keep on improving ourselves, and we deceive ourselves because we've made some degree of improvement in lots of things that we've eliminated a lot of the nasty things. Whereas God comes and he says, "Now I believe in totality." I don't believe in little bits off here, little bits off there, little bits off somewhere else. I believe in being ruthless, says God. You'll never stand by Calvary and believe that God isn't ruthless. You'll never stand and view the cross except you'll be persuaded that whatever else took place there, it was death sudden death. You know that, don't you? I mean, when Jesus came into the world, you know this word suddenly is used. It says, suddenly there was with the angels a host of shining ones, and they with the shepherds, these angels, and they were singing ever so suddenly. You know, it's like that when Jesus died. He died suddenly. Suddenly. Whilst the other two, one on either side of him, were still sort of lingering on and wanting to die in the agony, yet afraid to die and clinging to every last breath, he just dismissed his spirit and he was gone. Amen. Sudden and total death. That's what God believes in. That's what God sets out for us. And this is the only thing that faith can lay hold of. Lots of people believe in getting hold of the Bible and getting a little verse of scripture and letting that chip something off. No wonder the image is absolutely marred. Whereas this gospel revolves around the cross. Amen. So you find that in the first chapter, this is the way he speaks. In verse 17, he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, you see. So I say, well, that's a very lovely verse you've spoken there. We'll write that down. We'll have it up on our wall, Paul. See? And we'll believe in that. He said, no, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And the tragedy in so many lives is that they're making the cross of none effect. The Bible's marvelous, and they're illustrated calendars. But the cross, and really the Bible's only there to tell you about what Jesus did on the cross, fundamentally. Amen. It makes the cross of none effect. There came a time when Paul came back to honesty and came to truth and saw what God had done on the cross and came like a lamb to the slaughter. See? And as a sheep dumb before his shearers, he had no word to say. Not a word of self-amelioration. Not a word of self-excuse. Not a word of escape. Just went. As Jesus went for him. And this is the only way to come. Without a word. Not a word of self-defense. Not saying, he betrayed me. She's let me down. Or something like this, but coming as you are, rotten to the core. Absolutely unacceptable as you are, and yet blessed. This is the wonderful part about it. God's been so good to you. That's the thing that always gets me about God. Today I've been doing a little bit of weeping. I may not look like a weepy chap to you, but I have. Yeah, when I thought about God, yeah. Do you ever weep? I couldn't once upon a time. See, in our family, only the girls weep. Your sisters, they weep, but boys don't weep. See, that's the way I was brought up. Poor boys don't weep, you see. Not. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I've done a bit of weeping today. Hallelujah. You get before God and you see yourself. What? Oh, the revelation of God to show you yourself. Ooh, you're horrible. Calling ourselves Christians. So Jesus comes down here and he goes, absolutely, without a murmur, and say, want to put me on the cross? Oh. Mind you, when I get to there, I'm going to deal with sin. That's right. I want to tell you that sin's never dealt with in any life till self is dealt with. Not sin. Sins can be forgiven, but... See, self and sin, they're absolutely combined. And until that self has been dealt with and not excused, then you'll be constantly having trouble with sin. Absolutely unavoidable. Oh, Paul says, who's Paul? Who's Paul? It isn't that he wants to sort of blow up the image of Christ or something like that. It isn't because he's a sort of a paid acolyte or something like that. He don't get any money for this. He's seen it. Hallelujah. He's seen it. He's gone and he died. Free from himself. That's a precious thing, to be free from yourself. And you'll discover that as soon as you get free from yourself, lots of other things will happen in your life. Let's go back to that 9th chapter, for instance, where we were. In this chapter, we look lower down, and this is what you see then. As we read, he says, let's start at verse 16. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. You say, you see, then he did get a reward. Yes, but let's look at it. This is what he says. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men. There you are, you see, he was free from everybody else too, because he was free from himself. Free from himself, so he was free from everybody. Isn't that a marvelous thing? To be free from everybody. That's a tremendous thing. Are you sure you're free from everybody? Until a man gets free from everybody, his mummy and his daddy and his wifey and his children and his... You know, until he really gets free, God, until the power of Calvary has gone right through him, everything, all his connections, all his affections, everything, until he really knows the great power of the cross, he can't be free from everybody. Now, until a man gets free from everybody, he can't preach the gospel to everybody. He can't do it. That's why you find the hardest place to preach is in your home. To talk to your mother or talk to your father, you see, something like that. Or talk to your husband or talk to your wife or all the various cross currents. Or talk to your brothers or your sisters. That's the hardest place of all. To get free from everybody is a great and marvelous thing. Oh, to be free from everybody. That in these great matters, you and I are dependent totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't care whether people criticize you or compliment you. You don't care whether they love you or whether they hate you, but you prefer them to love you, of course. You don't care what the results are. You don't care about other people's opinions. That's the next thing. But you never get free of other people's opinions till you've got rid of your own opinion of yourself. You've got to die to yourself first. When you die to your own opinion of yourself, that's your pride and the vanity. It's because of what you think of yourself that you think somebody else thinks something about you. See? That's right. But when a man dies, when he dies to himself, that's when God can really use him unto others. You see, let's read these verses, shall we? He says, though I be free from all, yet have I made myself a slave unto all, that I may gain them more. Isn't this precious? You can't really be a servant until you're free from people. You can't serve these very people. You say you want to preach the gospel to them. You say you want to minister to them. You say you want to help them. You cannot do it until you're free from them. That's right. God knew that. Hallelujah. You take the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's have a look at this, shall we? Now you will know that the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely free from himself. Free from himself. And then you know that he got free of everybody else too. As he went on, and when he came to the face of his ministry, even his mother, he said, what have I got to do with thee? Absolutely free from everyone. Are you free from everybody? Are you? But you know, there's so many subtle bondages that tie people up to other people. The fact that other people know your sin. The fact that you've connived and been in company with others in sin. For instance. Isn't it a marvelous thing to be free? And God cut you off like that. When you're really liberated in your spirit, you can serve people. You see, in order to serve people, beloved, you've got to absolutely be able to give yourself utterly. These are great things where liberty is concerned. But you know, there are other things in this glorious epistle about liberty. If you look with me into the famous 12th chapter, for instance, God doesn't only want individual liberty, but he wants church liberty too. See? Now concerning spiritual gifts. And he goes on. And he tells them all about the gifts of the Spirit. He says there are diversities of gifts in verse 4, the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. A blessed thing, beloved, when you're so free of the flesh and everything else that it's the Spirit that's manifest, isn't it? It's such a wonderful thing when you're so free of your sermonettes that you've worked up for the last fortnight that the Spirit can manifest instead of your mind. Isn't it? Isn't it blessed that in a church, God doesn't set any store, really, upon mental ability? Not really, he doesn't. Isn't it a marvellous thing that these people that were completely untaught about the things of God could all be come and baptised in the Spirit and all get together, and then God could just carry on. He never carries on a service. Denominations do that. He never carries on a service. Paid ministers do that. I'm not throwing bricks, but it's true. You only got to look around, is it? You've only got to look around. It's absolute fact. But he just gathered these people together, baptized them in the Spirit, and then all they manifested was Spirit. That's God's thing. Manifested Spirit. Didn't manifest academic qualifications, nothing like that. They wouldn't have known Greek unless they were Grecians. Then it would have been Koine Greek, I reckon. And that's a very corrupt form, not classical at all. The whole thing about it, beloved, is that they just came together and the Spirit was manifested. Look how free they were. My, it was marvellous. Look, if some of you really got free from yourself, you could have a proper ministry and a function. You could manifest the Spirit. For you see that the Holy Ghost only comes upon the basis of freedom. You can have the Holy Ghost completely freely. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. Except ask and receive, and that's simple enough. That you just come to the place where you believe God and just ask and receive. That's what God wants. He comes on the basis of freedom, absolute liberty. And this I'll tell you, that if the Holy Ghost goes to any person or any church or company and he can't have liberty there, he'll quit in his power. That's the story of the churches. You go back to your Acts of the Apostles and all the things you can gloriously read about in these epistles. That's the thing you see. That somebody was saying that they heard someone preach over the weekend, I think, unless I'm not mistaken, or very recently, preach that the glory of God has departed from the churches. That's absolutely right. You see, the glory of God is the manifestation of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Isn't that right? That's the glory of the churches. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Absolute liberty. I was driving with a man in a car somewhere in Essex the other day, and he'd come to pick me up at one place and convey me to another. That's why I don't need a car, because God's given me cars and chauffeurs all over the country, and it's very lovely, and they seem to like to do it, and I like it very much, and so on, and it's very easy, you see. And as soon as he got me in this car, he said to me, if you were looking for a church to worship, brother, what kind of a church would you look for? See, so I sat there a minute or two, and I said, well, really. But he was a bit of a talker, and he just kept on a bit till I gathered my wits. <You see? laughs> And I don't know whether, I know he didn't really. I know the kind of church he went to, but he didn't expect me to say, well, you know, the historic church or the established church or the, you know, all the sort of names that you could think of. He said, I would like you to tell me. I said, well, the first thing I would want, really, if I went into a district, you can ask some funny questions, don't you? Don't ever get in my position, it's ever so awkward. Stay where you are if you can. Never preach the gospel unless it's woe unto you if you don't. That's you're on safe ground now. Old Paul said, I preach because woe unto me if I don't preach this gospel. Marvellous thing. In other words, the eternal bliss and happiness that he would have thought would have been swallowed up in woe if he wasn't preaching the gospel. so clearly does God call and commission a man. He knows it's his life. He's got to do it. But anyway, we returned back. And so whilst he talked on a little bit more, I said, well, really. Then he came in again, so I thought, well, that's all right. But it shows how the question was burning in his heart. Really burning. You see, he said, in our district, I won't tell you where it was, wouldn't be fair, he said, there are all the churches are dead. Now, I haven't been in all the churches in this district. This is what he told me, you see, sir. So I said, well, really, now, this is what I would look for. If I went into a church and I never knew anybody, or into a group, you know, whether it's one of these famous home churches or whether it's one of the, in the buildings that are called churches, I said, the first thing I would really look for would be God's perfect love. That's the first thing. I would really look for God's perfect love. And then, because I didn't quite know the man I was talking to, I said, well, and then I should want it to be a great Bible-loving and a Bible-expository church. Yeah, he said. Then I said, I would want it to be a place where I could have liberty to worship God freely. You see? He said, what do you mean by that? He dropped on that straight away, you see. Well, I said, I couldn't go to one of these churches. I'm not being critical here. I'm just opening my heart to him. I'm talking in a car. So just imagine we're in a car together. All of us now. It'd be a big car, but never mind. I said, well, I couldn't fit into this where there's only one man at the front. And he does everything. And I only stand up when he tells me to stand up and sing, and I only sit down when it's over, and I said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I must be in a place where I have liberty to praise God myself. I found I can't do it by proxy. With all the goodwill in the world, I can't do it. I must, and it must be a place where the gifts of the Spirit are operating. Couldn't happen. I couldn't go to place where they wouldn't have the gifts of God. Well, I should. Well, what do you do with the people that don't want the gifts of God? And so I went on all along this line, you see. I said, you must have absolute liberty where a man or a woman knows they're absolutely free under the guidance of the Spirit and under the proper control of an eldership from God, where they can worship God in liberty and in power and in truth. Amen. You see? Oh, he said, thank you very much. He never committed himself, but he thanked me. But then I told you, I'm riding in your car, if you'd have me. But oh, how true it is, beloved. Think of the freedom. Think of the freedom here. Look, let's have a look at these gifts, shall we, together? It says this. To one in verse 8 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Well, that means freedom from foolishness, isn't that? And folly. And stupidity. And how many stupid and foolish and I don't know what things people do. Really? Let's have a look at the next one. The word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Praise God. This is spiritual knowledge. What a glorious thing it is. This saves us from ignorance. See, that's what he starts off in the chapter. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He starts off that way. And then he goes on and he says, and praise God, he says it, faith. My glory. God will soon have the churches free from unbelief, won't he? And let's go on. Gifts of healing. He'll soon have us free from sickness, then, won't he? Won't he? Amen. Let's go on, shall we? To another, the working of miracles. Why, that's tremendous, isn't it? The working of miracles. Know any miracles need doing in your churches? Amen. Actually, it's the Greek word is the word dunamis, actually, powers. The working of great, powerful things. Impotent church, no power, can't do this, can't do that. God wants us free from it. To another prophecy. The direct communications of the Word of God as distinct from prepared ministry. What a wonderful thing it is to have prophecy. Oh, it makes us free from the bondage of the mind. Should do. And you've got discerning of spirits. My, this will keep us in the place of clarity, won't it? Freedom from all these evil spirits and powers and wickednesses that set on people's lives. What liberty God wants to bring us into. You know, this is absolutely tremendous. I think God's wonderful. I don't know whether you're in this. Divers kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Amen. Freedom, beloved, from being confined to my own mother tongue. Oh dear, oh dear. I get to God sometimes and I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory. I think you're wonderful. And in about 20 epithets or phrases, I've exhausted everything. It's beyond me. What are you going to say after that? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See? Praise God. Freedom from the narrowing confines of my own vocabulary. Freedom from it all. A liberty in a realm to praise God and love God. And then the blessed interpretation of it. Oh, Lord. So that I'm made free from mere mysticism. I'm really moving in the glory and power of God. Now then, is your church free? Amen. Oh, Paul said, I'm free. And wherever he went, he established free churches. Glory, that's right, he did. Wherever he went, praise God. And then if they tried to call themselves Paulicians or something like that, he says, who's Paul? Ooh. We're Apollonians. If that's the right way to get Apollosin, or anything like that, you see? Well, they wouldn't say I'm Cephasians, would they? But you know what I mean. All this business. Free from this denominational divisive business. Free from it all. It's only because people are conscious of men that these have sprung up. Amen. God keep us free from ourselves. God keep us free from one another. Free from all men. God keep me free from sin. He can. Do you believe him? Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll believe him tonight, you can have it. All these things of God are gifts. Oh, it's so precious to be free in the sight of God. Isn't it a marvelous thing when a man or a woman can come into a group and know that they're utterly at liberty to minister in the Spirit of God? And Mrs. So-and-so once said, see? Or Mr. So-and-so won't say, absolutely free. Oh, blessed, blessed thing to be free. Am I not free? Am I not free? Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this, beloved. It won't matter how many places you go, and they say, well, now, feel free, brother. You be free, brother. You see, unless you are free, no good people saying that to you. No good people saying that to you. And, you see, they, like people go to me and say, I didn't feel free. I didn't feel free. Didn't feel free? Well, you weren't in the spirit then. Oh, but I was. Spoke in tongues. Or something like that. God never gave tongues to sort of make you feel free. Praise the name of the Lord. He made you free so that you can speak in tongues. Got this thing all wrong. To man to walk in his liberty and enjoy the presence and the glory of God, and at any time be available to all men. What a precious thing this is. Are you there, brother? Are you there, sister? Do you know this great, all-prevailing Holy Spirit? Do you know this one who's come because of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ to honor and magnify the name of the Lord of glory? Do you know him? Do you know that the only reasonable thing in answer to Calvary is that you should be free, utterly free? Did you know that? You've no business to be sitting there all bound up with sin or habits of long standing. You've no business to be sitting there and saying that 10 years ago you were baptized in the Spirit, but now you've got no gifts or you can't do anything. You've no business to be sitting there like that. You've no business to be sitting there saying, oh, I'm all inhibited and shut up. I can't get free. That's not what God intended for you. There's a place in the provision of God where the Holy Ghost comes and he ministers to you. And I want to tell you that God doesn't intend us to be sitting about here all sick in spirit and in mind and in body. That's never God's intention for us either. God intends us to be absolutely free. That's what he intends. You may take that as the great general disposition of his spirit. To do this thing for you so that you can say, I'm free. I'm free. Now, I know that it's the aim of the devil to bring us into bondage. I know it's the aim of the devil to tie us up in knots if he can. It's the aim of the devil to destroy us one way or another, if he possibly can. But it's the business of the Holy Ghost to liberate us and keep us in that glorious liberty. In Jesus' name, he says to them, you're Christ. You're not mine. You're not your own. You do realize that, don't you? He says this in this great sixth chapter. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Let's work it backwards, shall we? You were bought with a price by Jesus. that you should know that your body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost has come to fill your body. Your body, mark you, not your ideas, not your religious notions. He's come to fill your body that you should know that you are a temple of God and you're not your own at all. Say, who am I? I'm a temple of God. I mean, if you walk around telling people that, they think you're a man. But you've got to know this. A temple of God walking about, a temple of God eating food, a temple of God going to work, a temple of God driving a car. Really? A temple of God courting, a temple of God getting married. Those things don't happen, do they? Of course they happen. Here's the great and mighty thing for our hearts to discover, that we're to be the temples of the Holy Ghost. And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. I'm not my own temple. I'm not my own possession. I don't belong to me at all. What a glorious thing that is. Now, once you get here, beloved, you see the confidence that you have. Why, nothing can happen to you save in the will of God. I'm not my own Lord. It's up to you. See? I'm not my own Lord. You keep me. I'm not my own Lord. You direct me. I'm not my own Lord. I'm not trying to serve myself or serve anybody's ends. Just you, Lord. Glorious thing it is to come to this realization. Has it ever gripped your heart that you're not your own? You're not your own. Can you say it to yourself? I mean, is it more than a repetition of scripture? Do events that come to into your realization, do they make you say, well, I'm not my own? Well, life's not my own. I mean, I've heard people say this, women say this about their husbands. They say, he gets up and he goes to the office and he's all day long, he can't come home to lunch, I don't see him, he leaves home about 7:15 in the morning, and there he stops at night, and that boss thinks he owns him. He's not his own, his time's not his own, life's not his own. But how real this is, beloved, when you know God, these are not mere phrases. There's a great consciousness in your heart that you aren't your own at all. Your life belongs to Him. When this really dawns on your heart, nothing becomes merely humdrum anymore. Everything changes when you know that you've been bought with a price. And of course, we all know the price of our lives. It was the life of Jesus for our life. His life poured out in that precious blood at Calvary that redeemed me to God. Oh, to be possessed by God. Isn't it a marvelous thing when you're not possessed by sin? When you're not possessed by lusts? When you're not possessed by the devil? Isn't it a glorious thing? When you're not possessed by these things that go on and you see them possessing other people, you see it there and you know you're free. Of all that, you belong to God. Lord, I'm just yours. I'm all yours, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you free? Are you free? When did you really get free of yourself? Really free of yourself. Instead of your life revolving around yourself. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Terrible. and your life revolves around yourself. Inescapable. You rise in the morning and it's self, 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 all the way through the day. And you go to bed at night and it's self again. Wake up in the morning and it's your same old horrible self. People cried out to me and said, oh, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself. Well, that's fine. That's where the Holy Ghost has to bring you. Where you hate yourself. Where you come and say, Lord, just thee. Make me free from sin, Lord. Make me free from self. Make me free from everybody. Make me free in my walk. Make me free in my worship. Make me free in my ways. Oh, beloved, when you take this precious book up and it becomes the book of your heart and not the book of your head knowledge, when all you want in life is that what's written in this precious New Testament of ours concerning the Son and the sons of God should be all yours, concerning the body of Jesus Christ, that should be and that alone. You know, there are so many people, they're frustrating God's purposes in their lives because I hear it again and again and again, and I know what's shouting at me. They say, I'm not going to do anything till God tells me personally. Thus they blaspheme the scriptures, because what's written in there so plainly, you are to do. You're not to demand that God speaks to you specially. Who are you? I want to testify this to you, beloved, that it was because I read and reread that book and saw what God wanted, see, and said, Lord, that's it. If you've written it there, I'm not going to demand anything. I remember a young scientist coming to me. He'd been through Manchester University, a physicist, a graduate. And he said to me, I can't believe that. I want God to speak to me direct, God to life. And God just said, get up off your knees, you little bother. If God's written a book and he's put it there and you're deliberately refusing to accept what's simply written on the sacred page, you needn't expect God to speak to you, he won't. He won't. Do you see that? Hallelujah. What would you really think, even in the realm of nature, if you said, oh, I'm not going to bother about this generality of corn and, you know, wheat, potatoes. I want God to give me some special food. God wouldn't bother. Hallelujah. But if there was a need, he'd send a raven to feed you, that's all right. If there was a need. Don't you see what it's all about, beloved? Oh, the tragedy of men and women who are bound up in their demands upon God and think they're so virtuous and righteous in it. Why, let me confess to you, I read that book, and I remember a time when I read that book and I saw that I could be crucified with Christ. I said, Lord, that's what I want. I didn't say, now I demand that you come and tell me. See, people aren't honest, really. You examine your own heart, brother and sister, and see. You see, you think that because God can speak to you, that you can demand that he shall. You can't do that. You see, you wouldn't be saved if you'd have demanded that No, Mother. Here's the book. And I remember when I read it, I saw such scriptures as, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. I said, all right, Lord, praise God. I didn't need any commentaries on it. And I didn't need demand that God come and say, no. I believe it. Amen. I believe it. Ooh. If I'd have kept an account of how many, it must be thousands of men and women, I've turned and saved to that verse, Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. They didn't demand that God came and spoke to them special about it. Does that say that there? Right. Hallelujah. Same with the gifts of the Spirit, same with everything else, beloved. There it is, it's written. I remember when I saw what a true New Testament church should be. I finished with everything else I was in. Out of it, right there. Praise God. When I saw what was written in this book, I said, Lord, Lord, that's what I want. Amen. That's why you've got a Bible. That you should read it. And here's this verse. Free from all men. Are you? Glory. One of these times, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen. The trumpet of the Lord will blow. It's even in this same epistle. Well, you could read it yourself. That you'll even be free of the laws of gravity. Now you see? Praise God. Be caught up. It's there. It's in the 15th chapter. Free. So free. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Eh? Right up to the Lord. Yeah, it'd be the thrill of a lifetime, wouldn't it? Never be repeated. So look forward to it. Praise God. Glory to God. Even so, we say, come Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to stop preaching. I believe, beloved, that God wants to set people free. That's from tonight. That's what I believe. Amen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it about yourself? Be free. Gloriously free. Not because I say so. But God's going to do it. Praise Him. God's going to do it. You know what you need to be set free from? Or who you need to be set free from? Do you? Glory to God. Come on now, let's pray. You reach out to God. You believe God. If you've got sickness, I believe God wants to heal you. I believe God wants to set you free from it. Here in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, say, no, Lord, I don't believe you want to set me free from it. Be honest. One or the other. No, I don't. Amen. Sin in your life? Hey? Especially inward habitual sin that you can't break. Want to be free from it? Will you believe God and make you free from it? Go on, ask Him. Free from yourself. Oh, praise God. Listen, you are crucified with Christ. Get with Christ now. You were crucified with Christ. Lord, I believe you. Go on. That's right. And you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd get up on my 2 feet and thank him. Believe the Lord. Go on. Amen. That's right, sister. Hallelujah. You believe God. Hallelujah. That's right. You believe God. That's right. Go on. You believe God. Dare to believe God. Praise him. Hallelujah. You want to be free from inability to worship God as you should? Hey? You want to be free from it? Glory. Lord, I want to be utterly free from the opinions of others. I want to be free from the bondage of men. Hey? Or if I could take you through it, if I turn you back to another thing that says this epistle, you can be free from the flesh. No flesh can glory in his sight. Free from your own flesh. Oh, hallelujah. The demands of the flesh. Not so long ago, somebody said to me, oh, Mr. North, I want to get free of this terrible eating called compulsive eating. So that's right. You can be free from it. You can be free. Go on. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe in God? You sick? You believe God will heal you? You do, do you? Really, in your heart? You come out here and we'll pray together. You come and sit here and the Lord will minister to you and set you free. You believe God heals? Amen. Eh? Do you want to be free to function as a member of the body of Christ as you should? Do you really? Do you really want to be free to fulfill what Jesus wants for your life? Eh? Get free of that person beside you, or that person you have to live with. Get free of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry now what they'll think. Praise the Lord. Trust him. Amen. What a difference it would make to your life and your home if you were free of self. Sin, eh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Glory. Glory to God. Lord, I believe you. Oh, Lord, I believe it's your great purpose to establish the church on earth as it should be. I believe it's your great purpose, Lord, to raise up men and women who are free in the Spirit. I believe it's your purpose, Lord. I believe that every man and woman should know that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe, Lord, that it's your will that everyone in this room, Lord, should know that they are not their own at all. Amen. That they are entirely the Lord's. Amen. I believe that, Lord. If you believe that, Lord, you say amen. Amen. That's right. If you really believe that, you talk to the Lord now. Go on. Don't stop. Tell him all about it. Let the response come right from the depths of your heart now. Praise God. He'll release you from the slavishness of your mind. Go on. It's the manifestation of the Spirit that we need. The Holy Ghost can never manifest through you properly till your spirit's free. Amen. Glory to the name of the Lord. Praise him. Go on, let it come.
Let it come. Praise the name of the Lord. Go on, don't begrudge him one praise from your mouth. Don't begrudge him one love from your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, I love thee. I praise thee, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for baptizing me in thy spirit. Thank you for making me free from myself. Oh, Lord. Thank you for making me free from everybody. Now perhaps I can really serve them. Oh, Jesus. Lovely Lord. Lovely Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to thy name. Praise God. Oh, Lord wants to do so much more for us all, beloved. Yeah, he's got it in his heart. And it's well within his power. Go on, yield to him now. That's right. Praise God.